radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Cyberspace is a place that only a human being locates, where there's so much information to take. There you enter an entirely new phase. Once you get on the internet, become World Wide Web.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind. I'm your host and facilitator, Junius Ricardo Stanley, inviting you to stay tuned for interesting interviews, news you can use, and programming designed with you in mind. Free your mind, the rest will follow, right here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary, on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.
Cyberspace is the place. Cyberspace is the place.
You were told what to do. song worth singing.
Peace and love, black family. You are listening to the Prince of Pan-Africanism, Dr. Umar Johnson, the black community's number one school psychologist and child advocate. You are listening to Junius Ricardo Stanton here at the Cyberspace Sanctuary on BlakeRadio.com. So make sure you listen to the Cyberspace Sanctuary every time our brother Junius Ricardo Stanton is on BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind, on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul Channel. My name is Junius Ricardo Stanton. I'm your host and facilitator, and we thank you for logging on. We thank you for carrying us with you on all your mobile devices, as well as listening on your desktop. We started off the program with a message in the music from Teddy Pendergrass. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? Sing it and produce your greatest song. Sing it and create energy that is positive, uplifting, productive, and progressive for the collective. Sing it and allow the Creator to manifest in you, through you, as you. Sing your song and join the harmony of the spheres as we make this plane a heaven on earth. That's the real master plan. That's the real message that all the great avatars, teachers, and way showers explained and shared, that we are divine entities experiencing a mortal, quote unquote, experience. And we will at some point transition back to the consciousness energy that is the great source, that is the Creator. We have a great program for you today. We have a guest that I'm very familiar with. We go way back. She was an editor at the Philadelphia New Observer. I was one of the contributors. And in addition to that, she served as a general reporter with the mainstream media, Philadelphia Daily News, and several other publications. But she's done PR work. She's also a talk show host in Philadelphia. And she's currently the managing editor of the Fun Times magazine, and she'll tell us all about that following these messages. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're logged on to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind, on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul.
Greetings to the Internet Radio family. This is Reverend Valentine speaking. You know, for nearly 30 years, I have had the distinct experience of being interviewed over every medium of communication available to the public. And except for the metaphysical underground, I can think of no other electronic venue that has been more progressive, more innovative, more insightful, more diligent, more diverse in its demographics, and more courageously supportive of the truth than this ever-growing phenomenon called Internet radio. And this is precisely why I'm here to tell you that it is so vital that you give your wholehearted support to it. Tell a friend. In fact, tell 2, 3, and 4 of your friends. If you are a business owner, support Internet radio by telling your customers and constituents all about it. Let them know that there is a legitimate and important substitute to all of the prefabricated, super-censored garbage polluting our public airways today. Don't allow the mass media to continue to treat you like a mindless consumer drone. Enhance your awareness. Indulge your critical thinking, your reasoning, and your analysis. Do as I do. Log on, listen in, and then let it be known all about your Internet radio experience. Chimatep, beloved family, thank you for listening. Walk in light.
We'd like to welcome everybody checking in from Real Media Player, from Windows Media Player, from iTunes. We want to encourage everyone to log into our website, which is blakeradio.com, and become familiar with how you can access our broadcast directly from our website. And vice versa, those of you who check in directly from the Blake Radio Network, become familiar with how you can also access us through Real Media Player, through Windows Media Player, and iTunes by logging into their radio tuner guides and doing a search for us in the talk radio genre. You're listening to Rainbow Soul, talk radio at its best.
Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Hi, I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, inviting you to join me in financially supporting the Blake Radio Network on a regular basis. We need your continuing patronage to help the Blake Radio Network remain alive and thriving both now and well into the future. There are several easy ways you can send your contribution. To use PayPal, click on the help link on the Blake Radio Network's website at www.blakeradio.com, or you can go directly to the PayPal website and click the send money link. Type in rainbowsoul@blakeradio.com as the email address and Unlimited Ventures as the payee. Then follow the instructions. To send a check or money order, make it out to Unlimited Ventures, care of Neil Blake, and mail it to 73 Ireland Place, that's Ireland Place, Suite 109, Amityville, Amityville, New York, 11701. It's easy, painless, and uncomplicated. And you'll feel great after doing it, knowing you're keeping the Blake Radio Network alive and on the cutting edge of media technology. I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, thanking you in advance for your support.
Gracious Professor Griff, you're listening to Junius Ricardo Stanton. Straight up, we're teaching you all those things you need to know from the neck up, all right? We're definitely doing a checkup from the neck up. This is Professor Griff from Public Enemy, the ex-minister. I'm out. Peace.
We're speaking with Samaya Shakur, also known as Helen Blue.
I go by Samaya Helen Blue now.
Oh, okay.
Because right. I can't deny Helen Blue and what she was and is. She's so much a part of who Samaya is that I needed to show that integration.
You're currently a freelance writer. You're also the editor for Fun Times Magazine.
Okay, I'm not the editor. I'm the managing editor.
Mm-hmm.
But I also do freelance work, and I do health and wellness programs. So I'm into doing that.
Right. So you still do the Reiki?
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be doing that a little bit later on. I have my girlfriend's daughter has been just diagnosed with third stage cancer. And I'm going to be visiting them when I leave here.
Okay. All right. So how did you become involved with Fun Times Magazine?
Well, actually, you know, I had not really heard of it, you know. But I had a cousin who met Eric. I think she was actually renting out one of the new offices that in the building that he owns at 52nd and Style. And so I went to, she kept saying, you know, she knew I had been, you know, at the New Observer all those years and my background in journalism. So she says, I think you should talk to him. Like, I think it would be a good fit, you know, like you could really help him, you know, and da-da-da-da. And so I've always had a love of African culture. And, you know, I'm just into bringing the community together. And I thought the idea of bringing the African Caribbean and the African-American community together was just a really rich opportunity. So I said, yeah, and I said, well, okay, let me see. I'll just write an article for you, not really, you know, just let me see what's going on. So I was really shocked the first time I met him, and he showed me the magazine. He was my thing, was, you know what, I can't deal with startup. I just can't do that, you know. But when I saw the magazine, I was like, okay, this is a nice looking magazine. Nice color pictures, 100 pages, a lot of, you know, things in them. And I did see where I would be able to make a contribution.
Mm-hmm. So what's the history of the magazine?
Well, like
I understand it's not new. It didn't just start here.
No, it started in Liberia in 1992. And Nzaribe, the publisher, was actually a Nigerian citizen, but he was at the time living in Liberia. And as you know, there was this, during the time of that really dark, ugly 15-year civil war going on. And he thought that he would start to publish something that could make people laugh or just take their minds off the drudgery and the sadness that was going on in the country at the time. So that's why he named it Fun Time. And the idea was to just have a light piece of something that people could read and kind of forget about all the things that were happening outside. So there's like, so that is just the oddest name for a magazine, you know, Fun Times. But actually, it's the name for exactly what it was meant to be at the time. So Eric came to the United States, I think he said in 2000, and he said he began to see the problems that immigrants were having, African Caribbeans. And he initially started the magazine to really just focus on them because he felt like they had no voice, you know. He thought, you know, African Americans, well, they got voices some places, but, you know, not really big, but they're represented, but we're represented nowhere. So he started there, but since then, it has definitely expanded to include, as you had said, celebrating the Africa and the diaspora. So it's definitely, we're a gate or a bridge trying to bridge these communities of color, the African, the Caribbean, and the African American community.
Has it been successful? Because I remember when Terry Johnson had the Business Review, he tried to bridge the communities of color, that Latino, the African American,
right,
and the Korean. The Koreans didn't need us because they had their own publication,
their own
daily.
Right, yeah,
and then Aldea was online already, so that didn't really work that well. So how is this?
I believe that the reason that it looks the way it does, this is 2014, so it's been 6, 7, 8 years it's been publishing, because see, the African community sticks together, you know, the Caribbean community kind of stick together, and so this is who he targeted the magazine for, and they have basically contributed.
They support it?
Yeah, I mean, they buy ads. Mm. At this point, it is basically a subscription magazine. We have a readership of 40,000. So
you have an online version?
Well, since you have to pay for it, you can't see like the whole. I'll take that back. You can see the magazine, but you have to pay. It's paid for one magazine, and then you can view it online. But basically, you can go online. You can see excerpts from previous magazines. You can see how to subscribe to the current magazine, or in general, it comes out every other month. So we're talking about 6 times
right.
a year. And of course, we're working toward to bring that to once a month. But 6 times a year, we got 100 pages thereabout, and that's just a lot of information and material that goes into a lot of work. So
now, is it Philadelphia, the tri-state area, or is it regional, or what?
Well, it's the target is Africans in the diaspora. It's focusing on East Coast, so we're basically focusing on New York, Baltimore, and Washington. Those are where they have large, you know, communities of color.
Pockets, right.
Yeah. So, but it's based here, and much of the information is out of Philadelphia because we don't have the resources to really cover those other areas as well. But I've got a couple of ideas with D.C. that I'm going to put to work. We've got people down there that used to work with us at the New Observer newspaper that are in Washington and can really work to pull that together.
Well, I know in the D.C., Maryland area, there's a large community of Nigerians. And Philadelphia, I found, has a large community of Ethiopians and Eritreans, and probably people from Somalia. But they're kind of quiet because they're out there over by University of Pennsylvania and Science University over that way. So do you get a lot of contribution from them?
I would say since I've only been there maybe 2 months now, I'm not really qualified to zero in specifically, but I would say yes, because we have articles that are from all parts of Africa, and with these people now, they don't necessarily write for the magazine, although they do sometimes. But I see their ads. They supported. They supported that way, and they supported with subscriptions. They buy the yearly subscriptions because that's where they go. The Nigerian community, the Ethiopian community, the Liberian community is really large and very, you know, contributes a lot to this magazine. And it has branches in Liberia and Nigeria. Yeah, I think it's those two. Liberia and Nigeria.
Is there a distinct editorial philosophy?
Well, like I said, the philosophy is celebrating Africa and the diaspora. So that means that anything we're seeing, a lot of the things through African eyes, we talk about culture, because it's about not only Africans being able to see themselves in a magazine, but for African Americans to see African culture and to really begin to appreciate it and to understand that we got more in common than we have in difference. And it's only by joining together that we're only going to be able to step forward, because we are from Africa, all of us. We just have been separated from our original culture, and this is one way to familiarize us with that. Yeah, of course, me being an African American, I know that market, so I bring a lot of that into the magazine. I don't know the African community as well, but I'm beginning to learn. Yeah.
What about the Caribbean community? I mean, I know, like in, say, Camden, there's a lot of Jamaicans. There are a lot of other island communities. So have you reached out? Has he reached out to them? Are they contributing? Are they part of it?
They do. And he always tries to have, or in the past, I'm telling you, since, you know, I got last month, or the current issue, May-June issue, Raheem Islam, CEO and president of Universal Companies. So he's on the cover. But previously, he always had a Caribbean person or an African person. So of course, I get in there and I say, well, wait, no, we're bridging the gap, so let's introduce this community to Universal Companies and the people in the African American community that embrace this philosophy of we're all from Africa, and we all need to, as people of color, need to be together.
What about the Americas? And there's a community of Africans in Canada. So have you made any contact with them? Has he made any contact with them over the years?
That I can't answer. Right. I can't answer that. And but I'm gonna find out. I guess, you know, basically, you know, we just want to put out a good solid piece, a good solid magazine every other month in a timely fashion, to continue to high grade pictures.
Yeah, I've seen the stock of the it's really good quality.
Good, yes. And you know, I'm beginning to work more on the editorial side in terms of green and really quality.
So you're getting back to doing layout and all that kind of stuff.
I haven't gotten there yet. I'm hoping that it doesn't be
But, take you a flashback to the New Observer.
Oh God, do I remember that? Like, up in, I'm not trying to stay up till 5 in the morning again. But they do that, and I could see me getting maybe overseeing some of it. But I hope I don't have to do that particular piece. I'm trying to work on the copy, you know, the articles, get it planned in advance, and I'm trying to create links into the African-American community, you know, try to make hookups and partnerships, trying to open up partnerships. That's where I think I could be helpful.
Have you looked into making some linkages from the people from the some of our colleagues from the New Observer, like some of the salespeople, because I know you probably would try to get some ads and things like that.
Yeah, well, and that is such a critical need. So if anybody hearing me, you know, an energetic person that wants to deal with those kinds of issues, we definitely need somebody. But yes, to answer your question, I have reached back, and I'm going to be talking with the person that for years did head the New Observer, the New Observer advertising department, who is no longer in Philadelphia, but you know, with the way we work these days,
so
the internet,
so
she's in St. Louis, and like, you know, just reach back and help us make some of those connections that will allow the magazine to prosper. You know, I'm not sure, she's not going to go like knocking on doors, but they can get into the agencies and to the big people like Keystone Murphy and all those guys that support this, you know, because their clients are black people that support tend to put some kind of money in African or black owned publications.
Now, have you found the same issues with this magazine that we had with all the other newspapers? It was very difficult to get advertising, and if you had a pro-black slant, they tended to shy away from you.
That's still a problem. I remember when we were at the New Observer, it was just the oddest thing to me that every other newspaper around the holiday season, they were bursting with advertising, and it wasn't that way for us. It wasn't like we didn't get something, but not much. But it would pick right up in January for
Martin
Luther King and for
Black History Month,
and we would pick it up and have big fat papers in January. So we were never on their, what they would call their regular media list. We would be specialty media who got ads at certain times of the year. But those ads, and I'm not saying I wasn't grateful for it, because those ads kept those papers under. You know, I'll never forget, Hugo Warren, publisher of the New Observer, said to me very shortly after I got there, and I said something about ads, you know, and he said, if we depended on black advertisers, we'd be out of business tomorrow. And he was true, so.
It was interesting, because I started looking at the independent newspapers in Philly, like the Weekly, and I forgot the one they changed their name. They both come out, they're weekly papers, but if you look at their advertising, it's like jam-packed, and they have a lot of small entrepreneurs that support them.
Right, and they're able to come out on weekly or bi-weekly or whatever. It's the Korean paper.
They come out daily.
Can you imagine that? A daily paper that addresses their needs, the Jewish exponent, you know, because all of the people that have businesses and whatnot support those papers, and so they have a viable voice that we haven't quite got there yet. But like I said, the African community is better than the African American community, because the truth be told, this is a black-owned magazine. There isn't another one in this area. You know, you have some national magazines that are black-owned, but they're even dwindling. I mean...
Yeah, because I was talking to Henry DiBernardo a couple of weeks ago, and he was the first person that told me that Jet was going digital, and then I heard, and now I see it is.
Yes, it is. It went digital. So we've only got Ebony out there, and, you know, people talk about Essence, but that's been gone. That's white-owned now.
Right.
So we still have Ebony, and... I can't think of, there's a couple of others, but I can't think of their names.
Yeah, but they're not that widespread. So, I mean, the interesting thing is I met some Nigerians from the D.C. area. And they stick together. I remember when they invited me to an event, and they said it was formal. So I'm thinking, my wife and I come dressed in tuxedos. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What they mean is they dress in their traditional.
Right, absolutely, absolutely.
So I just happen to have a kente. You know,
you threw that on, right?
But they support each other. I mean,
they do.
You know, he had several websites. He had, I don't know if he ever had a brick and mortar type publication, mm-hmm. but they supported him, and they still do. He gets a yeah. lot of, I mean, you know, they catch a lot of flack from the scams mm-hmm. that were going
yes.
on, but
absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
But he's still going on. He's still doing.
And, Eric Izaribe, the publisher, I have to say he's just a gentleman and a scholar. He's a great individual, and for him to have done this almost single-handedly, and you're looking at the magazine, it's a great-looking mm-hmm. magazine. And I have to just give him his kudos. And you know, he suffers from some of the reputations of the so-called scam people,
right?
But
he's
got
I'm sure he does.
Yeah, black, you know, Nigerian doctors and business owners and what they support him, you know, with ads. And he's got a couple of biggies out there, ShopRite.
Right, I see that. Yeah,
so, you know, I don't know how he's done it, but, you know, he's in the right direction, and it's in concert with the universe, so it's working.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say I'm so glad that you've agreed to, like, help contribute.
Well, it's something for me to do, and it's something to be a part of, because just about everything we've been associated has shriveled up and died. You know,
you're
Duck
right,
Scoop is
you're
the only
right.
thing that I still do on a regular
right.
basis.
Right, yeah, right. And it's still moving along.
Yeah. What are your responsibilities as a managing editor? What do you have to do?
Well, what I do here, like I said, I am principally, I still do a lot of the major writing, like some of the lead stories or secondary leads, I do that. In my case, I'm developing some other contributors to the magazine in terms of contributing content. And so
you have specialty contributors, like a health
yes,
person?
Yes,
you
do. And they were already there, so I'm leaving that to it was Sherry Avery Black, who is serving as the editor of the paper. And she primarily will dialogue with them because they're already there. I dialogue with what I call like live copy, people I'm getting to do stories or things that are going around. And I'm to recognize stories and to help shape the editorial content. I'm trying to make it tighter. I try to, you know, focus on what we're doing each month or every other month. Next month they decided let's do some business thing. So then I say, okay, let's pull together a story on the business of black hair care. And then I asked you if you would pull together a story on vending, which is a startup business for many Africans, Caribbeans, and African Americans, and what that entails, and talk to some people who've made a business of it, and how it's viewed overall. So those are the things that I'm doing. And like I said, making connections and trying to get the magazine more recognizable, that people know. I think I bring some experience, having been in the editor's in the reserve for more than 12 years, that I know, and so people will be, okay, well, have agreed, okay, you're involved, like, I'll take a chance, because they didn't really know.
Right, they didn't know the other guy.
Yeah, so, and they're like, well, I didn't see it, so, like, what are you getting me into, kind of thing, but I can send them to the website, which is www.funtimesmagazine.com. It has everything, you know, you can see.
Can you subscribe online? I mean, you know,
absolutely.
for the magazine.
Yeah, subscribe. Okay. You can subscribe online. You can submit questions. It has all, you can, you know, communicate with us online. It has our phone numbers.
Okay, well, we'll get to that later. What's your biggest challenge? Now, you've been a general market journalist,
mm-hmm.
where you worked for a daily newspaper.
Yes.
Then you did the New Observer for years, which was a weekly. Now you're doing something that's every other month. So what are the nuances and the challenges for somebody like you who's done all of that?
Well, the challenges in this particular magazine are getting it, the distribution together. And that is not something specifically that I personally will focus on. But I have to do something in terms of like opening up places where we can be and would be comfortable and people would be willing to do that until we actually get on a newsstand, mm-hmm. which may be impossible. I just was at a meeting with the called the Community of Leaders, which is a
conglomeration of leaders.
By Universal. But one of the things that did can't come up, and I think Jerry Montesire published in the Philadelphia Sun, mm-hmm. was talking about how difficult it was for black publications to get on newsstands. They we don't even want to sell them. I think mm-hmm. the Tribune is sold, but I think they're mostly focused in Chimney City.
They have the arrangement with the schools, or they used to, so they mm-hmm. can get them in there and the churches.
Right.
Whereas I can remember Terry was able to get some boxes for Real News and the Business Review, but I mean that works for some cases. In some cases, it doesn't.
Well, it works in a newspaper, but it's not going to work for a magazine unless you have a thing where you can put a card in, because magazines these days are like $3 and $4. Mm-hmm. This is $3.99. So that would be kind of hard to do in a box. Like with the New Observer, that was free. We had boxes all over the place, so you could get it there, and we could just drop them off at libraries, but you can't do that when it's, you have
your sales
point. So we have to go, of course, you would say a logical step would be to go to black bookstores, but
I can only think, well, there may be two on 52nd Street, there's one on Broad Street.
Black and Noble, that's the one. Are you thinking about that one?
And Butler, a Germantown, Broad and Erie.
Broad and Erie. And maybe someplace like Robbins.
Is he still around?
He's still around.
Right, okay.
At least I can email from him.
I assume
he's still around. And Hakeem.
Yeah, and isn't there another one on 52nd Street? Saying that there's so few.
The fact that we can't just pop it off our head will tell you something. So that's part of my... because when I first came, I'm just thinking about, I feel so much to do on the editorial side, because one thing I've learned, this is a magazine. I got a lot more space. I can, really delve into subjects in a lot more detail than I could, at the New Observer. But, he said, you can't spend all your time writing articles. I need you to help run this business. So I kind of stepped out of what would typically be what a managing editor does, which is primarily just mainly deal with managing the copy and, making sure the layout is done right. So we're still working on exactly what my responsibilities would do, but part of it I do know will be to help make these contacts with people and to still provide, because I'm a journalist at heart, so I'm going to always write and come up with story ideas and, then find out how we can get it done, given our resources, which we don't really have that much. So that's a challenge. You know what you have to do, but actually trying to turn that around and make it happen is a very big challenge. Even at the New Observer, it came out weekly, it was black, but we had everything we needed right there. You find, I'll call up now and I'll say, you went through an article for Fun Times, I got to go through this whole dance about what it is.
Right.
At the New Observer, I didn't have to do that,
Well, see, that's the other thing. The New Observer had a reputation. It was like the people's paper.
Yes.
And so a lot of the stories took on a more Afrocentric or more militant.
And cultural.
Cultural bent, And speaking of that, we at the New Observer, we did okay. It was weekly, but now you're dealing with every other month. So how do you deal with things that in a time that, that people could consider timely?
I will tell you, it's I'm adjusting to that, and I haven't quite figured out exactly how to do it. So it's like I know when it comes out, and so you have to just get the information in that much sooner. Like if you have an event in July, you know that it's not to go well. We have a July issue. They didn't can, but you got to get it to us like in May.
Right.
So
right,
I need the stuff to promote the event, and we can do a story after the event and maybe make it a part of a broader story that talks about why you're having the event. So, for instance, we talk about the there's a Philadelphia natural hair show in Philadelphia tomorrow. So we'll go there, not to actually cover the event, but we'll be there because we're doing a story on the business of black hair care. So we'll include elements of that event into a broader story about black hair care. And, you know, the same thing like with the big hair locks convention.
Right, right.
You know, we begin to reach out to them now and say, can we partner with you? Can we have a table? We can advertise in our September issue, which we'll have the whole month of September for people to see it, you know. And so that's kind of how you have to look at everything as being like a feature story. Like I've started studying magazines and seeing how they're working. And that's how they do it, you know, like it's way in advance because these big magazines, their issues close 2 or 3 months.
Well, I mean, some of the magazines that we're familiar with, like Essence, Ebony, so they're monthly. Then you have the trade magazines, the professional magazines, but they have a small niche.
Right, that right.
So something like you're doing is really going to require some innovative thinking to keep it going. But the good news is that you have such a broad, you know, like Booker T. Washington said, cast down your buckets where you are.
Right. We have so many things to choose from and so many areas to go in and look at. I mean, I could go on and on and on. That's what I love about being at the New Observer, and I was at the Daily News and other, you know, mainstream publications. And I like covering the black community. I wanted to make black people love themselves again. If I can present positive images and get them, you know, to read about how they can be together as a unit, that was really what I thought my calling was.
But you know what? I think that was one of the things that helped the New Observer get a lot of credibility, because the other paper, the other big black paper in town, tend to focus on crime and a lot of gossip and petty kind of stuff.
They tend to focus on that, and they saw themselves as being, say, the Black Inquirer. And like we never saw ourselves as that. We had our own.
We were more of an advocacy
niche.
Paper, you know.
We had our own niche, and we stayed in that niche, and we had loyal readers. They loved their New Observer, you know. So. And we got to cover people that couldn't get mainstream coverage, you know, but they were doing great, wonderful things in our community, but you never see them on the Inquirer page or the Daily News. And, you know, the Tribune was selective about some of the things they did. We gave those other people a chance to show, and I really did like
that. We say 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we had several radio stations. We even had a black-owned television station. As we look at media shrinking, you also do a talk show on WURD. You're part of that. Can you leverage that at all? I mean, we're down to a couple of stations, but they're more corporate. We lost a couple of people. We lost one of the persons that was really into the community.
Right, that was.
He made transition.
Bankrolling it. You know. And was having a hard time staying afloat.
Yeah, right.
So that's just a grim looking area. You know, that is why it was so devastating when somebody like BET sold to Viacom, and it was like, how much money do you need? I mean, like, we needed a voice. and you were the voice in television, you know.
Well, some people felt that they were more negative than positive, but the positive, the public affairs program they did, at least they did something. Mm-hmm. But I know how you feel. And then, look, we lost WHAT,
yes.
We lost DAS, went to a bridge.
Swallowed up by Clear Channel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, remember when DAS used to be, everybody came through DAS. All people in the black community were in and out. It was a real family, and it was just everybody listened to it. And I remember walking into Comcast after they moved to, with Clear Channel. I'm not being Comcast. Clear Channel. And I said,
DAS. I got like five stations.
Right. Will never be the same. You know, it was just never, we have just lost that, you know.
Well, Lorraine is still at power.
Right.
And but when we lost E, you know, that was a major blow.
Yeah,
and
right.
Then we lost the, you know, some of the other people. So when you're on URD, are you able to promote this magazine, or are you just strictly doing
it? I actually, it's called The Fun Time Show, so I do.
Okay.
But it's not on at the on at the greatest time, and that's a deal that we made with David Barnes, who has his, what's the show called, World News, or I think it's called World News Live. And so he contracts with us, so once a month we do Fun Time, where we talk about what is going on in the magazine. I mean, we just have a wealth of information to talk about, because, like I said, we're usually around 100 pages.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's plenty of stuff to talk about. So we promote it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we talk about it and try to, you know, but clearly,
I'm looking at, it doesn't seem like you draw from any of the services. I mean, there's some websites that are really good, like I think I've just found one, allafrica.com, there's a couple other ones.
And that's,
looking at the magazine, it doesn't look like you draw from it.
They don't, but see, they didn't have anybody that could dedicate some time to that, and that's the other thing that I'll be bringing into it, like, where can we... I know we used to get one from Africa when we were the New Observer, making contact with them.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, you know, services.
The new services.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you want to share some of that, that's exactly what I'm looking for. That's part of what I'm going to be bringing to the magazine as well. So I do see the need for that, and it, you know, it'll be on time, it'll be relevant, and that's part of what I'm going to be incorporating and doing.
Okay. You talked about the phone number. You have the website. Give me the contact information. The website again. You said you can do e-commerce there. So that's, is there an email address for you or the editor that you can share?
Okay. You know, Junius, I'm looking at the magazine now. Here's the number. The number for Fun Times magazine is 215-954-6300. It's 215-954-6300. That's the Fun Times magazine. The publisher's name is Eric Inzaribe. You can www.funtimesmagazine.com is the website. My email is Helen, H-E-L-E-N, 19103 at yahoo.com. You can reach me directly that way, or you can reach me directly by phone at
267-971-9066. Now, if someone had some information, given at this point it looks like it's a regional magazine, you're looking at the 95 Carter.
Regional magazine, but we do have a lot of stories that come out of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
If you, I don't know.
The particular one I'm looking at now, it seems most of the stories are even, it's funny because the advertising is Philadelphia based, it looks like, and a lot of the stories are featuring.
Yeah, featuring a lot of our fashion design and stuff come out from the continent. And that reflects how, you know, Eric's mission was to bring a taste of home to the immigrant community here. And so a lot of the copy does deal with that. So what was your question? I forgot your question.
No, I was just saying that when is your production schedule? So if people had an event, but they had something to contribute, how would they know when to get it to you so it could be in a timely manner?
I would say that if you have something that's happening, say, like I said, in July, you need to get that information to us in May because the cycle is June, July. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
the
new one just came out.
It was
May, June.
Okay. The cycle is May, June. Mm. And then we have June, July.
Okay.
I mean, no, we don't. We have May, June, then we have July, August. So we are working on the July, August issue right now. So we're taking in things. We have things in about some of the festivals and things that happen later on in July. But in terms of, say, you're right. It's July. I'm getting confused too. It's in this issue.
We did May, June, right? As far as
we
I was aware.
That's what I was going to say. We have information about July 4th celebration. It's in the June. It's in the May, June issue. So when it comes out in July, we will have already covered that.
Right,
but
if
you do the May, June issue, you'll see like the good celebrations and things that are going on at the beginning of July. And some of the things that are at the end of July. So I'm just saying, you need to give us, you know, a month ahead, you know.
What's the subscription fee?
The subscription, the magazine is $3.99. The subscription fee, I think it's $27 for a year.
Mm-hmm. You give a deal, if you get 2 years.
Yeah, there's a deal, and I can't tell you. See that on the website, but you can buy it, like if you want to buy like 3 issues, there's a section where you can buy 3 issues or one. You can even buy 1 issue. I'm just interested in, you know, May, June, you know, so you can do it that way. So it's broken down, but $27, given what magazines cost today.
Right. And you're getting a full color, very good stock, paper stock.
Right. Definitely a coffee table magazine. Just leave it on your mag out for 2 months and see how many people will pick it up and read it because it just looks good. And you see these black, dark faces and all this green color going on. And it'll draw you.
Mm. Now, what about advertising? Say someone wanted to advertise either in a particular issue or just wanted to advertise for a time, say just to test it out six months or a year or whatever.
I would say then that way you would call our phone number, call the office at 215-954-6300.
Give that again. Come on now, you're radio, you know what you got to do.
I know. 215-954-6300.
Mm-hmm. So, you have to ask for anyone in particular?
Well, you can ask for Eric Inzaribe, and he will be able to deal with the matters of advertising until someone else, you know, we approve that other person to help him. But Eric Inzaribe will answer all advertising questions, and trust me, he will get to you.
What were your short term and then your intermediate goals as the managing editor?
My short-term goals are to begin to sharpen up the editorial content, to sharpen up the stories, and to do what I can do to help it get out in a timely fashion. Those are my immediate goals, and to identify people that can move it forward. Like I said, we were talking about the need for an advertising person to move that forward. We're working with someone now that's going to be doing more with, in terms of working with it as social media and to publicize it. The magazine is also is looking to form partnerships to become part of an event you may be having,
right.
You know, where
right,
we do,
right,
we're
right,
sponsoring.
Right.
So those are that. And this magazine also sponsors, I think, every quarter, a big event. Tons of people come, you know. And
so that means that they will be, remember they used to have the Afro-Caribbean Festival,
right,
and
right.
All those festivals they had down on Penn's Landing.
Right.
Are they a part of that?
No, Fun Times has its own event
they
do.
Okay.
It has, for example, I think it was in September, or maybe it was September, they had a still standing event where they were honoring couples that had been married. You know how they always say black families don't never stay together. And so this was a show that dedicated people who had made that commitment and were still standing.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a souvenir booklet was over 100 pages.
Wow.
So, I mean, they did mad support, you know, for things like that. The event was packed and crowded. So those are happen, you know, I think it's 4 times a year. So that also brought in the community. But so far, you know, because that's just the immigrant community that basically comes there. Yeah, so we are reaching, like I said, reaching out to partnerships of other people that are doing things. And because, you know, we want to be seen. And we have this fabulous vehicle here that we, you know, we want people to be a part of.
In closing, give us the URL for the website again and the phone number.
Okay. The URL is www.funtimesmagazine.com. That's all one word. The phone number, again, is 215-954-6300. And the address, this is the first time I'm mentioning the actual address, is 1226 North 52nd Street, right on the corner.
Okay. Now, WURD streams on the internet, so when you're doing your program, when can they hear that, because it is in conjunction with Fun Times Magazine?
Yes, it comes on at 9 o'clock on the first Sunday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
That word is 900 a.m. and it's 9 o'clock.
What's the URL? I know because they stream on. I think it's 900
www.900
something. Just look for WURD.
WURD. You'll see it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And next time
I need to working with you.
Yeah. Well, I'm back.
Yeah.
The other thing, next time we'll come and talk about Reiki, because I'm fascinated with that.
Okay. You know, like I said, I'm on my way to a Reiki session later on this evening, so I'd be happy to talk to you about
okay.
that.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Good job.
Thank you, Judy.
As we close out the program, we want to remind you that you can listen to Fun Times on 900 AM WURD. They stream at www.900amwurd.com the first Sunday of every month at 9 p.m. Fun Times, celebrating Africa and its diaspora. And for more information, you can go to their website, www.funtimes.com, and email them at info@funtimesmagazine.com. And we thank Sumaya for being here today. And until next time, this is Junius Ricardo Stanton wishing each and every one of you love, peace, health, prosperity, wisdom, power, but most of all, courage. The courage to find meaning, purpose, and fulfillment in your life so that you evolve into all that the Creator intends for you to be. Your life manifests magnificently as the Creator expressing itself as you in this time and place on this plane, and you make a fantastic contribution to the collective. Till next time, stay strong.
diverse place is a place that no army with artillery can raise.
You've been listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Thank you for logging on. We invite you to tune in again and engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind, the rest will follow.
That no corporation incorporates, no denomination faith dominates, and no court is going to try any.